At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that answers the call of history every day of the week. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're looking at how a small town in Northwest Alabama put itself on the map by teaching the rest of the country how to dial 911. The day was February 16th, 1968. The first official 911 call was made in Haleyville, Alabama. It was a ceremonial call between two Alabama politicians, but it marked a turning point for the country, proving that a universal emergency phone number could actually work in the U.S. 30 years earlier, Great Britain became the first country to establish such a service when it set up 999 as the number to call in the event of an emergency. But prior to 1968, the United States hadn't adopted that particular improvement. Instead, people in need of assistance had to contact the nearest police station, fire department, or hospital directly. This meant they either had to track down the 10-digit number for each location, or dial zero and get a telephone operator to connect them. Sometimes, people had to call multiple numbers until they reached someone who could actually help. As the 20th century wore on, some of the familiar characteristics of modern society began to take shape. There was a rise in crime, and in the frequency of car accidents and medical emergencies, all of which were exacerbated by a continuously growing population. These concerns shined a light on the inadequacy of the country's emergency reporting methods and created a sense of urgency around the issue. The first serious appeal for a nationwide emergency phone number was made in 1957 when the National Association of Fire Chiefs suggested using a single number for reporting all the country's fires. 10 years later, in 1967, the President's Commission on Law Enforcement and Administration of Justice finally took the next logical step. It recommended that a single number should be established not just for the nationwide reporting of fires, but for all emergency situations. Other government agencies and officials endorsed the recommendation, and as a result, the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, called a meeting with AT&T, the company that controlled almost all of the phone lines in the United States. The meeting was held in November of 1967 with the intention of selecting a universal emergency number that all parties could agree to. AT&T recommended using 911 for a few reasons. First, it needed to be a number that was short and easy for the public to remember, even in times of stress. But more importantly, it needed to be a unique number that had never been designated as an area code, office code, or service code. This would save time and money, since it would be easier for the telephone company to program its equipment to accept a number that hadn't already been used for something else. Shortly after the number was chosen, the U.S. Congress passed legislation making 911 the exclusive number for any emergency calling service in the country. AT&T immediately set up a central office and got to work developing the infrastructure needed for that new system. At the time, AT&T had a monopoly in the telephone market thanks to its reliable long-distance service and its ownership of numerous Bell Telephone subsidiaries in local markets. The high cost of infrastructure and other barriers to entry ensured that AT&T would stay on top unchallenged. Being the first phone carrier to introduce the new nationwide emergency number was set to be the latest sign of the company's dominance. Except, that's not actually how it went, because AT&T was beaten to the punch by the Alabama Telephone Company. Bob Gallagher was the president of that independent carrier, and he didn't appreciate being excluded from the process. After all, Congress had established the number, but there was no law saying that AT&T had to be the first carrier to use it. With that in mind, Gallagher went to the owner of the Alabama company and pitched the idea of setting up their own 911 system before AT&T. According to Gallagher, quote, "They said, go get them, and off we went." Of course, with much fewer resources at his disposal, Gallagher knew he had no time to waste. He reached out to an inside plant manager for the company named Robert Fitzgerald and had him examine the schematics for the company's 27 telephone exchanges. They chose Haleyville as the test site for the first call because its equipment had been recently updated and was best suited to be quickly modified to receive 911 calls. Fitzgerald then designed the necessary circuitry, and with the help of four technicians, he got the system up and running in less than 1 week. And so, on February 16, 1968, the Haleyville system was ready for a test drive. The honor was done by Alabama Speaker of the House Rankin Fite, who placed the first 911 call to his colleague, Tom Bevel, a U.S. congressman who represented the 7th District of Alabama. Fite made the call from an office in City Hall, and Bevel answered it on a bright red telephone located in the police department, which was located in the same building. Also on hand for the event were Haleyville Mayor James Witt, Public Service Commission President Eugene Connor, and the man who made it all happen, Bob Gallagher. Gallagher had scored a win for the little guy, besting AT&T at its own game. 1 week later, Nome, Alaska followed suit by establishing its own 911 system. Progress slowed a bit from there, and it was several years before the system was adopted on a wider scale, and even longer before it became standardized across the country. Eventually, in 1973, the White House issued an official statement in support of 911 and encouraged the creation of a federal information center to help government agencies implement the system nationwide. Although it fell short of legislation or executive action, a thumbs up from the White House was still a push in the right direction. From the mid to late 1970s, the country's 911 service grew at a rate of 70 new local systems per year. By the end of the decade, more than a quarter of the U.S. population had access to 911 service. By 1989, the number had doubled to more than 50%. And 10 years later, in 1999, roughly 95% of the U.S. population was covered by 911 service. It was a leisurely 30-year rollout then, but we eventually got there. As for the town of Haleyville, where 911 began, the historic call remains a source of pride for residents. In fact, The town seal features a red telephone receiver and the words, Home of 911. Inside the entrance to City Hall, there's a small display of framed photos and documents related to the landmark day, as well as the actual red rotary phone on which the first 911 call was received. Apparently, it's a big draw for 911 dispatchers, many of whom travel from across the country to see this relic of their trade in person. The red phone was also sent on tour to Washington, D.C. in early 2018 to mark the 50th anniversary of the call. Thankfully, it was returned to Haleyville in time for that year's annual 911 festival in June. Go to HaleyvilleChamber.org to plan your visit. It's easy to take the 911 system for granted, because for many of us, it's been in place all our lives. It's become a ubiquitous feature of society, and today, an estimated 240 million 911 calls are made in the US each year. Given all that, it's remarkable that it's such a relatively recent invention. But I guess that's the sign of a truly useful service. Once it's introduced, you have no idea how you ever got along without it. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or write to us directly at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.